concerned, we're broadcasting to you actually from Little Palm City, but through most of South Florida is where our message goes. And today we have a great program for you. We have a wonderful interview, an anointed woman of Christ who is heavily invested in prayer, which is something we all need.
Amen.
To focus on, learn more about, and be more encouraged because of. Before we introduce our guest, though, I must, by convention and tradition, which are very important to us Christians, you know, I must introduce and welcome my co-host. So I'm going to do that first with my dear brother, Ed Skiba. Welcome.
Convention, tradition, and it's in the script. Another beautiful South Florida morning.
It
is. This past week, our Jewish neighbors and friends celebrated the new year, 5786. Wow,
gosh.
I think that's about how old I feel.
Yeah. I was going to say, you were in high school then, right?
But more importantly, this and the Feast of Trumpets.
Yeah.
There are 100 trumpets that sounded Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. This coming week is Yom Kippur, the time of reflection and repentance.
Yes.
And that's something that I think even as Christians, because we are grafted in to the Hebrew vine, we all need to take the time this coming week to really sit back and look at our lives and say, you know, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? And, Lord, what do I need to do to please you?
Yeah.
You know, it just might be a good time for us to take that up, too.
And that's a great focus of prayer. And also, you know, the Word of God is full of answers to that very question.
Amen.
And so we're thankful for that. And God's given us all those resources. Speaking of resources, I also want to introduce the youngest person in the room. I'm sorry. You are the youngest person in the room. There's no question about it.
I'm happy to be the youngest person.
Yeah, you are. You're doing a great job at being the youngest. Ann Lumhoko.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ann.
You know what? Keith, who is our co-host on tomorrow's program, A Biblical Response, sent me a wonderful clip. And he says, when we get out of bed in the morning and when we put our feet on the ground, the enemy should be shivering because we walk in authority.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I did that this morning when I was doing my devotions.
Ah,
and I'm
okay.
like, and just declaring you know, our future reading over our author's book again. And it was just like declaring the authority we have in Christ and that, you know, things that we're asking for, just declare it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Declare it
and
declare the word because it never returns void in Isaiah 55.
Absolutely.
Never,
so I'm
ever.
Excited to have our guest on. And
Amen.
I know you will introduce her shortly.
I'll let
you give her name.
we're gonna keep the mystery going as long as we can. No. We're definitely perched on the brink of doing it. I do want to say, though, because Ed was speaking of Israel, we stand with Israel
Absolutely.
Here at WCNO and all the staff members. And we pray that you will, as a Christian, you'll recognize the, this is biblical, by the way, it's not a suggestion, it's a command, and it comes with, really, God said, if you'll stand with Israel, or if you'll bless them, I'll bless you. If you'll curse them, well, guess what happens?
Yeah.
So, but we're not doing it because we want to avoid the curse. We stand with Israel because they are brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They are the chosen people. God didn't give them away,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he continues, they continue to be the chosen people. And theologically, we understand that as believers, as born-again believers, we are grafted in, as Paul says.
Yep.
Yes, a wild olive shoot into the tree. But hey, we've been grafted into that tree. And it's important then we recognize this and that we take a stand for Israel. How that means for you as an individual, that's between you and God, how to tell
Amen.
You.
Amen.
But I'm grateful to have the opportunity. And this particular pulpit is an individual that's between you and God. I have to tell you, but I'm grateful to have the opportunity. And this particular pulpit is an individual that's between you and God. I have to tell you, but I'm grateful to have the opportunity. And this particular pulpit is an individual that's between you and God. I have to tell you, but the opportunity is grateful to have the opportunity. Right. as you're listening to her and you say, gosh, I want one of those books, I will tell you the titles probably more than once, but you can even now call in. Some of you are saying, well, I've heard of her and I don't have one of her books, so I need to call in. 772-221-1100 is the number to call. 772-221-1100. And just Jonathan will answer the phone and you say, I want one of those books. Now, if you want to listen and find out, because Penny's going to talk about each book and what the contents are, what gosh, why she got to write it. But the titles are Pursuing Prayer. Subtitle is Being Effective in a Busy World. If that is not important, I don't know what is. And then the other book, Pursuing Prayer for America, the 21 Battle Cries for Our Nation. And these are, I use this book every day in my evening devotions. I'll read at the beginning of the devotional time, I'll read one of the prayers. And then when I read 21st, I go back and start over again because they're all so well written and they point to the issues we need to be praying about in America. And then the other book is the Wake Up Prayer. This looks like a kid's book.
Yes.
Although adults can probably get a lot out of it too.
I hope so.
So those are the three books and we'll be talking about them. But first, Penny, we get someone on the air with us, but the first time especially is like to hear your God story.
Okay.
How did you meet Jesus? How did he get you to do what you're doing?
All right. Well, as a young girl, I was brought up in a little Baptist church in Massachusetts. You'll probably hear that accent come out even after over 30 years in Florida. I can't kick it, but
it's all right. It's a lovely accent. So,
and I was given a Bible when I was in the third grade, and I just began reading it. I always think of the fact that my mom read her Bible at night. My dad worked nights, and my mom would read her Bible at night. So I just started reading my Bible before I went to sleep. And I read some. My mom would read her Bible at night. So I just started reading my Bible before I went to sleep. And I read some. My mom would read her Bible at night. So I just started reading my Bible before I went to sleep. And I read some. My mom would read her Bible at night. So I just started reading my Bible before I went to sleep. And I read some. My mom would read her Bible at night. So I just started reading my Bible before I went to sleep. And I read some. My mom would read her Bible at night. I just understand before. I had a joy and a peace I never experienced before.
Amen.
And so I knew at that time, this is what born again means.
Mm-hmm.
And just never looked back after that.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's, and what as you were sharing, I was hearing in your story, that you discovered intimacy with God in the life, prayer life that you began to have as a born again person, and I want to key off on that for a minute. And I will admit, confession time, that it took me a while to embrace the understanding that God wants us to have intimacy with Him, and that prayer is the primary environment wherein we can share that one-on-one with Him. And when I was reflecting, and I'm going to say that I'm not complaining about my parents, first of all, but this is the people I grew up with, is very, very active in church, very faithful. And yet, my mother, her vision of God was the judge, the ruthless, judge. And I didn't see any love in that God, nor did I have any inspiration to have intimacy with a God like that. And it was not until I got saved November 3rd, 1976, that from that point onward, I began to meet and get to know the God, the true God, the God who loves us, wants to transform us, yes, but who loves us and wants intimacy with us.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people, as have been a pastor 40 years, but who loves us and wants intimacy with us.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people, as have been a pastor 40 years, but who loves us and wants intimacy with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, as have been a pastor 40 years, God, but we also know that he was a sinner. I mean, the Bible records a lot of the sin nature that he had to repent of.
Right.
And so that tells me here the invitation is, look, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You know, Jesus came in my life and I invited him to come in and he immediately transformed me. He took me into himself. The unity he talks about, that now I'm in him, he's in me, we're in the Father.
Yeah.
And when the Father, he can look on me because he sees Jesus' righteousness.
Amen.
I don't
Amen.
Have any.
Amen.
Didn't have any to begin with.
Right.
But because of that, my brokenness, my broken nature brought to the foot of the cross, into the feet of Jesus, is there while he's embracing me, while he's loving me and calling me to share that embrace with him in the intimacy of prayer.
Amen.
You talked about knowing about religion for a long time, but never really getting saved. I've told you guys this story before, but I had the same situation. And 2 years after I accepted Christ, I was born again. I'm saying, why hasn't my life changed? Why hasn't this? Why? And God spoke to me one night, and he said, "You know all about my son. You don't know my son."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's
me.
The whole secret.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where prayer brings us to where we get to know God and know Jesus intimately.
Relationship.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's not religion,
what
relationship.
Prayer is first.
Absolutely.
It's relationship, and
Amen.
We miss that part.
And that's,
we use him as our Santa Claus.
Yeah, well,
that's
right.
True. Like, are we always seeking his hand but not his face?
Yeah.
And, you know.
He's more than a holy ATM.
And also, a lot of people, unfortunately, you may be Christian, but you may misrepresent God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people have. And also, a lot of people, unfortunately, you may be Christian, but you may misrepresent God's work. Sometimes people have. And also, a lot of people, unfortunately, you may be Christian, God.
I've always loved writing. Never thought that I could author a book. Huh? Like, you know, who am I? And anyway, so that got me starting on the writing journey. But it got this going as far as this pursuing prayer, being effective in a busy world, because that was what I taught in the class, did the magazine articles. And then soon she came to me and said, "I see this as a book." And
Amen.
That was such encouragement to me, because I was starting to think that, but is this just me, or, you know, so it was a confirmation. And then I mean, it was just God opening doors, yes. one right mm-hmm. after the other. I had always wanted to go to a writer's conference. And a friend shortly after that asked me, do you want to go to this writer's conference with me? It was wow. Florida Christian Writers Conference. And I was like, yes. And it was there that I pitched the idea of pursuing prayer to a publisher.
Wow.
And they picked it up.
Wow.
So, yeah.
People spend years sometimes trying mm-hmm. to get a publisher yeah. and don't well, get one.
Absolutely.
But the hand of the Lord was but, clearly on you.
But, you know, that's,
so
go
many
to a
people
writer's
are self-publishing
conference.
Because of that.
Yeah. 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 But you go to a writer's conference and you get to sit down with publishers and agents and editors
mm-hmm.
and,
wow.
and pitch your idea. So, and a lot of the most publishers today won't just take a manuscript that you just send to them mm-hmm. unless yeah. they have, unless you have an agent or mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. have met you at a conference.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, it was, when I say God was just opening doors one after the other, it really was that. And, it was very exciting wow. because I had always been interested in writing and never thought I could. But and God.
That's beautiful.
And that's because of God. You had a call in your life. You had gifts.
Yeah.
But as we reach a certain point, we finally open up to, mm-hmm. I think, you know, I've seen God keeps encouraging us until we finally admit
yes,
and that
even,
he's right.
And even closing other doors that mm-hmm. I was trying to pursue.
Yeah,
that's what he does. If you're praying, yeah. if we're praying for his will,
yeah,
he'll close those doors until
the
you're.
Thing,
yeah,
he gave me this desire deep back in my heart, but I had all these other talents, if you will, and desires, and I was pursuing them because I didn't think I could ever write
mm-hmm.
or get mm. published. But God just opens the doors. Yeah. He puts those desires deep in your heart. And we can't ignore them. Mm. I was ignoring it for many years.
Yeah, I hear that. The desires of your heart for prayer. Really, the book Pursuing Prayer is a wonderful expression of those heart desires, which makes for the reader a tremendous experience. You don't have to struggle mm-hmm. to understand. You know, you don't. And it's not saying, okay, well, she's going to give me an order of things. I better make sure this is right. No, it's more of speaking your heart, mm-hmm. what God put in your heart, and your experience of being intimate with God in
yeah.
prayer
yeah.
that motivated, and it's infused in the book,
mm-hmm.
which makes it a delight to read. And then while you're reading it, you're also getting a great teaching on prayer.
Mm. Well, you know, ultimately, Pursuing Prayer is Jesus's teaching on
yeah,
prayer.
Yeah, amen.
Is this
yeah.
your first book, The Pursuing Prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Pursuing Prayer, Being Effective in a Busy World, it's actually a Bible study.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It can be used as a personal devotion, but it's set up for group Bible study as well. But it breaks down the Lord's Prayer, because what do we That's, do? Mm-hmm. We recite it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Do we understand it, or is it just verbs?
Do we understand it? Yeah.
Words coming out of our mouth.
And when you think about it, when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, he had just said not to use vain repetitions.
Mm. Yes. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Is that what we do?
That's true.
And I mean, for myself, I wanted to understand the parts.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Lord was downloading to me was this acrostic for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I say downloading because when my pastor said, okay, we're going to do these classes on Wednesday night, would you like to do one for the women? And yes, and I knew right away I wanted to do it on prayer. So I started looking at all these different books on prayer to base the class on.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them were speaking to me. Not that there aren't wonderful, better books out there on prayer. But the Lord was downloading this acrostic. I finally gave into it and said, all right, Lord. Is that what you want me to do? So just a quick overview. For the P, it's to pursue prayer proactively because mm-hmm. we need to be intentional about it. You know, mm-hmm. the enemy doesn't want us praying. He is going to give us every reason not to.
Yep. Yes, of course.
The next letter is R for remember his awesome deeds. And I think we're going to go to a break.
Well, go ahead. Finish that, Penny, if you will, and lay that as a foundation. Then we'll go back and unpack it.
So this is the worship part of prayer. Mm. Hallowed be thy name. The next one is A, for acknowledge sin and ask forgiveness. Obviously, that's the forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debts against us. The Y is yield to his will. Mm. And in the book, we talk about his general will and his specific will for our lives. Mm. E is for enjoy his daily bread. That's the part we do all the time, right? We have no problem with that one. That is provision and that he is the bread of life. And the R is to rest in him, because once we've done all that, it builds our trust. And
I should ask after the break.
Yeah, let's get back. I do want to get back to that, because what I'd like for us to do is as you've begun to do for us, is to look at the Lord's Prayer not as a mechanical rote approach, but as a means whereby at each stage in that prayer we can be reflective and more deeply prayerful. So we'll take this break in about 2 minutes. I'll be back. Know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Renowned saxophonist Aaron Abu joins former Miami Sound Machine members Pedro Alfonso and Manny Lopez in concert to benefit the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, a charity that blesses military veterans, first responders, and their families. This is only one night at the Lyric Theater, downtown Stuart, Florida, October the 30th. For more information, tickets are available online at lyrictheater.com or by phone 772-286-7827.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And welcome back to the front line. Here we are in our little studio in Palm City. It's not that little. I mean, we fit into it nicely. But we're so grateful to be with you on the air this live today, interviewing Penny Cook, author. Particular focus on prayer, always been a critical issue for Christians to know more about, and certainly especially today. She has three books that she has written thus far. The one that we're talking about a little bit is first book she wrote, Pursuing Prayer, Being Effective in a Busy World. And you were talking, Penny, that it was sort of based looking at the Lord's Prayer and breaking it down. And you were talking about the acrostic, the word prayer, and how each letter means something. And then we took the break, but coming back, I was going to ask you to kind of go a little deeper into looking at the Lord's Prayer, beyond the fact many of us, it's a rote prayer for us. Mm-hmm. We read it. It's written in front of us. It's maybe in our liturgy on Sunday if certain churches have it as part of their liturgy. And we read it, and that's great that we read it, but we need to attend to it a little more closely, don't we? Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
Well, look at what prayer is. you know, just before Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, he said, your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask
him. Amen.
So if he's going to, if he already knows, if he's going to do what he's going to do, why do we pray? Well, we pray because it is first relationship with our Creator. And there's such blessing to that. There is such peace and comfort that comes with that. It is worship. Now, when we're just doing the daily bread part, as I said before, you know, that's the part of the Lord's Prayer we do automatically, asking. And of course, he invites us to come and ask, so there's nothing wrong with that. But we don't want to leave off the other parts that he talked about. So one of the things that we do leave off is confession. If we're not following the guide that he gave us, because I don't believe that he gave it to us necessarily to recite, nothing wrong with that, but let's understand what we're saying, and let's use those elements of prayer in our other praying, other than reciting the Lord's Prayer. If we're just talking to God, and that's what I've gotten out of this, is that, you know, I don't necessarily have to be reciting it. Jesus was teaching parts to include in prayer. And so after a while, you get mindful of those parts, and you start with worship. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name.
You acknowledge who he is from the beginning.
And when you acknowledge who he is and really look at who he is, it builds your faith for the rest of prayer. And that's the remember part, right? Remember his righteous deeds, because it builds our faith. And worship is such a blessing that if we're leaving it off, we're missing out. God didn't just have us worship for his glory, but for our heart as well. So we remember him. We acknowledge our sin and ask forgiveness. It's so important to keep... someone once said, short accounts with God. I don't remember who that quote is from, but because we're just like Adam and Eve. And when we have not done things right, we're going to hide from him unless we've come to him and said, oh, God, I messed up again. I'm so sorry. Help me, you know? Lead me not into temptation, right? Deliver me from evil. That's when you get into the warfare prayer.
There you go.
That's right. Yes.
We'll get to that. And then the why, seeking his will. I don't believe he necessarily does his will in our lives unless we open the door for him to do it. We ask him to do it. We allow him to do it. And then the E, enjoy his daily bread. He is our daily bread. Yes. He's the bread of life. And if we're not in his word, we're not getting fed by that daily bread. So daily bread, you know, asking for our daily bread is beyond just the physical. I feel like it is. And then rest in him. As I said before, once we've done all the other ones, we've built our faith and we can trust better. It's also resting long enough to listen to him, whether it be just in silence, listening to what his spirit says to our spirit, or getting into his word and seeing what it has to tell us. We need his word. So those are the parts of the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, we were talking about the different things that prayer is, from worship to confessing, but it is warfare. And I think that is the part that we don't look at as much, that when we pray, we are warring. I mean, there are some prayer that is not all maybe prayer is warfare at the time that you're praying it, but we need to realize that we need to fight in this war,
mm-hmm.
because we're not fighting against flesh and blood,
mm-hmm.
but what did he say in Ephesians 6:12?
Yeah.
We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, mm-hmm. against Amen. The cosmic powers over this present darkness. Is it dark today?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Yep. I don't think we think enough about the fact that we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he has his army. But Satan has his army too. Mm-hmm. And if we're not praying, we're not in the Word. We're not fighting the spiritual battle. And we see evil just taking over in our world. And, you know, a few years ago, I read Jonathan Kahn's book, Return of the Gods. Mm-hmm. And that will open your eyes.
Yes,
you haven't
it will.
Read that one. That will open your eyes, too.
I'm in the middle of Avatar right now. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't done that one yet. But but just the fact that when you close the door, and in a lot of ways, we have closed the door to God. We've opened one to the enemy Amen. And his demons.
Yeah. Oh.
And I just believe that prayer is the battle plan.
As as Christians, we are always under attack because Amen. It says in the Word that the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. Yeah. So we have to, in the spirit, pray. Like, I believe we wouldn't have the current administration we have now if it wasn't for the church praying.
Amen.
You have an amazing story regarding one of your family members, your son. It was through prayer that Amen. You saw mm-hmm. something happen. Mm-hmm. And your son is now an amazing pastor. But maybe tell our listeners about that, because we have to war in prayer for results many times.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like, okay, just say a prayer and then let it be. But war in the spirit, in prayer, with the words he's given us in the Bible.
And how many verses are that tell us to pray? Jesus said, always pray and don't lose heart. Nope. Don't give up.
Yes.
And it took 13 years of praying for my son that was addicted.
Yeah.
And during that time, I just felt like I had no more words. And, you know, there are times when we can feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. Why aren't you answering God?
Yeah.
You know, when will you ever answer?
Mm.
And so I was reading my Bible and reading Psalms and ended up turning them into prayers.
Yes.
For my son. So I ended up praying Scripture. And that just gave me renewed
Excellent.
Hope.
That's the best kind of prayer,
comfort.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're his words.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But during that time, my daughter was praying with her small group and asking for prayer for him. And after they prayed, one of them came to her and said, I had a vision while we were praying of angels fighting with swords. And so my daughter shared that with me, and it gave me such comfort at the time that, you know, okay, maybe he really is listening.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I really didn't believe he was, because I kept praying, but you do begin to wonder and question God.
Mm-hmm.
That, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how we get answers.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I asked the Lord about it because I didn't want to just believe something that sounded good and comforting and, you know. And he led me to Psalm 103:20-21 that says, bless the Lord, O you angels. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation because I particularly like the way it says it. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening to each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will.
Hmm.
Well, I was praying Scripture. I later was reading Ephesians 6:17, where it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And like, it was like lights went off for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, that's what I was doing. I was praying the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
And angels were fighting with swords. Maybe that sword was the word of God.
Absolutely.
That angels were fighting with, because armies of angels, That's why I say he's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies.
Yes.
And as I prayed, the angels went to battle for my son. And I just think there's just so much more to prayer than we realize, and we take it
Paul
so casually.
Paul admonishes us to pray without ceasing.
Without ceasing, exactly. Mm-hmm. We take it so casually. And I think if we realized, Louis Giglio says, if we realized what happens when we pray, we'd never cease praying.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I wonder, though, when I throw this out, is to what degree that's being taught today in America church, in America. Mm. I live in America, so I can't speak about other countries, but I question in America, in my limited experience in being associated with other pastors and other denominations, there seems to be, there doesn't seem to be the emphasis that I personally, and I think we all in this room, when agree needs to be on terms of just prayer, and especially, and I'd like for you to spend a couple more minutes talking about spiritual warfare. And I'll tell you, I can flat out tell you, I've spoke to some of my colleagues in ministry, and they're afraid of teaching about spiritual warfare, A, because they don't want to scare their people, and B, because they're afraid of losing their jobs because they scared their people. Now, this is true. There are pastors out there that will not talk about what is in the Word of God.
Amen.
That we need to know about spiritual warfare, how to deal with it. And if that's not being spoken and taught from the pulpit, then those people are horribly under-educated when it comes to these important things.
And not equipped.
Not equipped. Exactly.
Corinthians said those of us that are teachers will be more accountable before God.
Yeah.
So they will answer
in James,
for not
the book of James.
That's right. James. But for listeners who are not, say, this is the first time I've heard this. If you're a listener and you're saying, what is this all about? That's why I wanted to have you unpack that a little bit more.
Well, first of all, I think our churches are not houses of prayer.
Like God
called
them to
be. A quick prayer at the beginning, maybe a few more quick prayers, and let's hurry up and get out for the next service.
That's true.
After we take the offering.
Yeah, right.
We've been listening to a church. I won't even say which one it is, but we've been listening to one online that is just goes as long as they feel like the Spirit leads them in worship.
It should be like that.
That's right.
And it's beautiful. But listen, Jesus used the word of God to defeat Satan.
Amen.
Why aren't we? And why aren't we being told or taught how to do that? Why aren't we praying more in our churches? Look at the state of our country. But we're, you know, some churches are afraid to talk about those things. Well, I'm sorry. It's so intertwined.
We talk about it all the time on this station.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yeah.
We need to be warring for our country.
It's got to do with the depth and the degree of our faith.
That's true, Ed.
We believe. Oh, yeah, we're all believers. We're all Christian believers. Good. You can believe. But do you have the faith to believe unequivocally? And that's where we're at.
That we need to pray and that our prayers make a difference.
That's right.
Amen.
And for those, you know, we the program we have on Tuesdays grew out of concerns that people, there are many people out there, churchgoers and all, Christians, didn't know how to deal with the stuff they were listening in the news. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do about it. Well, you go to the Word of God, and that's how we look at that lens.
Amen.
But the other thing is that we've been talking about when we're talking about the prayer, and Penny has touched on this several times, the efficacy of prayer. In other words, prayer is effective. God tells us that the prayer of the righteous is effective.
Yeah.
And the point being is that When you are frustrated, anxious, even angry about what you see going on around us in America and the world, that we know is dark. We know it's evil. The devil is involved in those activities, and it's scary, and it should be, and it's demonic, because that's the it's the spirit realm that's manifesting itself in the natural through people that don't believe in Jesus. They have a belief in something else, and it's what's guiding them. But when you are willing to pray against that and for the work of God, it is effective. That's what Penny's been talking about and giving you some pointers along the way. And I think, I'm going to mention the phone in a minute. But to say you can pray. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing is the devil will come up behind you and say, are you sure God's listening? Or he might say, you've been praying for a while, nothing's happened. Maybe God is not listening to your prayers. Well, first of all, those things are not from God.
Right.
God didn't tell us that he would wait for us to pray before he did something, in the sense that he's got a perfect will, perfect sense of timing. Nor did he say that he would advance his plans because we started praying. He just calls us to pray. It's God's time. It's his will.
Amen.
And Penny was talking about, 13 years praying for your son.
And what happened with your son, by the way? He was addicted.
He was addicted.
And then what happened after 13 years?
And, he finally, it's such a long story, but he finally went to jail, and in Martin County Jail. He got in the Dunklin program.
Dunklin's phenomenal.
Great program.
I mean, it's a whole God story and miracle, but he ended up getting sentenced to Dunklin. That just doesn't happen. Totally God thing. And felt led to go to Bible college from there. And,
and the rest is, now he's pursuing active pastoral ministry in Australia.
Yeah, and he is.
Which those folks down there need it.
Married to an awesome woman and has two beautiful kids now.
Hallelujah. Well, listen, at this point, let's pivot to a break. Now, this will be a longer break, about 4 minutes. So you can do some things you wanted to do while you're, and you want to come back, and we'll still be here. You can call once we're back from the break. We'll be happy to take your call, 772-221. 1100, that's 772-221-1100, either to call to get one of these three books that Penny has written, Pursuing Prayer, the first book she wrote, and then Pursuing Prayer for America. We'll talk about that one, too, when we come back. 21 Battle Cries for Our Nation. And then The Wake Up Prayer, which is a kid's book, a bedtime reading book.
These are morning reading.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I was just flashing back when our daughter was young and we were doing bedtime reading. Okay. Well, anyway, with all of that, and each of those books is available,
and
for free, actually, yes, we'll even mail it to you, rather than have you come all the way here to pick it up, especially if you're listening in the Western Bahamas. That'd be a little tough. Anyway, God bless you. We'll be back after this break.
Turn my morning into dancing.
All right, welcome back to the front line, and we are still on the front line. We have not retreated, and we will not, because we're in Christ.
Amen.
Tremendous time with Penny Cook, author, deeply devoted, a woman of prayer, and written three books. The first one was Pursuing Prayer, and it's just a tremendous primer, I think is a good word. For how to pray, it's looking
at
the Lord's
prayer. That first book is still available for somebody to call, right?
Yes, that book. We did have a caller on the break. Anne Marie called, and she wanted a copy of Pursuing Prayer for America, which Anne Marie just let you know that you're the one to call, the first one to call for that, so you get it. We'll be dropping that in the mail to you in a couple of days. And so the other two, Pursuing Prayer, your original book, and then the. Now I'm finding out the one to read in the morning with your kids. The wake-up prayer comes the title. Why your original pick up on the title anyway? But I won't claim age. Right, Ed? Because if I'm claiming age, then Ed can do that, and we shouldn't be doing that. But getting back to, we have just a few minutes left of this hour. It's amazing how it's gone by so quickly. Well, let me just, you pick up. Where do you want to go, Penny, with the rest of this time?
Well, since you were talking about the wake-up prayer, let's go there.
Yeah.
I had been wanting to write a prayer, write a book for children on prayer, and had been praying about it. And the Lord literally woke me up one morning, and I heard the words, "Now I wake me up from sleep."
Wow.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And so I just jumped out of bed, got my coffee, and sat there and let the Lord download what he wanted. And so, you know, so often, and you were talking about, you know, we pray with kids before they go to bed, which is awesome. Of course, we want to do that. But how often do we start the day or teach them to start their day with prayer and to pray for their day? And so that's what this is. It's now I wake me up from sleep, from moon and stars and counting sheep. I thank you for another day to love and learn and laugh and play. So that's just part of it.
But, wow.
And then it goes on asking God to, you know, help him through the day and so forth. So that's the wake-up prayer. It's a picture book.
Now, this is, apart from those that are going to call in and get the one free copy of each, How can people get a hold of your books?
Okay. Well, they're all on Amazon, or you can just go to pennycookauthor.com. That's my website.
Cook with an E, right? Yes. I remember that. Yeah. So it's Penny Cook with an E, COOKE,
mm-hmm.
author.com. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's really easy to do. You know, most mm-hmm. of us do on Amazon all the time.
Yeah.
If they go to pennycookauthor.com, though, what else do they get on the website?
You can get free. I have a couple of free resources. Mm-hmm. One is a devotional devotional is a whole book. It's a devotion on prayer, along with tips on prayer. And then for the Wake Up Prayer, the children's book, there's a coloring page as well as tips for moms and dads.
Cool.
So that's one resource, two resources that have both things in them.
What about, you know, I believe God is moving in such a powerful way today. And the need for prayer has never been greater in my lifetime,
no,
I don't
for
think.
Sure.
Have you been receiving invitations from churches to go and do a presentation?
Yeah. I've had a few. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I am open.
Because I'm thinking
to talk about prayer. So
she's Treasure Coast, so for our locals.
Yes.
Locals, she's available.
She could easily, mm-hmm. you know, be scheduled to talk about prayer.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep. So please call.
Yes.
Or go to her website, pennycook.com. Yep.
Just hit that contact button. You can contact me.
If your pastor is listening, you may a light bulb may have gone off over your head, which is great. And that's an idea maybe God's giving you to think about inviting Penny to come and share.
Mm-hmm.
Most pastors during Sunday service have many venues to bring someone from the outside, Bible study or maybe as a guest speaker.
Yeah, your preacher, women's group or
women's
whatever.
Group.
Perfect
yeah,
for like a women's group conference mm-hmm. or speaker.
To begin. I believe this, when we are made available to the body of Christ in general and members of the body of Christ that have the authority to bring in people, do so. There's a great blessing that follows that.
Mm-hmm.
As a pastor, I found out that as to be prayerful and to listen to God would have me incorporate people, some within the congregation that had gifts that never been mm-hmm. expressed before, or those that I got to meet outside for the purpose of bringing them in to some venue where God could use them to impart mm-hmm. truth. And from their experience and their testimony, it was a great blessing. It was an infusion of the Spirit of God in a way mm-hmm. that I couldn't mm-hmm. do on my
right.
own. God didn't intend for me to be all things to all
things,
people.
Right.
But so to for pastors to be aware of that. And listen, maybe you're not a pastor, but you go to church. And maybe you're thinking, maybe God is touching you and saying, maybe I should talk to Pastor about Penny Cook. And maybe go to her website, share it with my pastor. Maybe you're feeling that God's moving to increase teaching and discipleship development about mm-hmm. prayer in your church.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be open to those,
oh,
wouldn't
absolutely.
You?
Love to.
What are you working on now? You're working on books still
yep.
right now.
Uh-huh.
So
after praying scripture for my son, I did the Pursuing Prayer for America, which is all scriptural prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm working on another one that is scriptural prayers as well, and it's Pursuing Prayer for Prodigals. The Lord just
beautiful.
The Lord was like,
wow.
Publish those, the ones you did for your son, you know?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So I've been putting that together and turning Pursuing Prayer, Being Effective in a Busy World, into a devotional. And I've got
wonderful.
A couple ideas for kids' books, too. Mm. So it just goes and goes and
that's
goes.
Good.
That's wonderful, though. That's wonderful. And the God is just giving you so many ideas to develop, and mm-hmm. you have the gifts and skills to do it. And we need it. Penny, we need you and people like you that God has raised up
mm-hmm.
and is empowered
yeah.
To release these things into the into the church, into the church and into the world.
To get on the front line, I love the name of your show, because when we become prayer warriors, we are on the front line.
Yes. That's right.
Amen. Speaking of that, God put it on my heart that there's at least one, I think one person is listening, probably more, but I know there's one person listening that they've heard so far has intrigued them, but they really want to understand a little more about what it means to be a prayer warrior. Would you address that, please? A few minutes we have left.
Well, again, you know, I always think of the military. Mm. They know their enemy, and they go and fight accordingly. Do we know our enemy? No, we don't like to talk about Satan. I don't even like to say his name.
Yeah.
And I refuse to capitalize it.
I agree with you. But
sorry, publishers sometimes make you, but we need to know our enemy.
Yes.
And we need to get on the front line and pray and war for our country, for our churches, for our schools, for our kids, for our families. We cannot afford not to. James said, if you have not because you ask not. And we can't take prayer lightly. We don't have to understand it all. We never will. That's why it's called faith.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But we just need to be obedient and do it and war for our nation and our families.
Yeah.
If we don't? I always think, what if we don't pray?
It has to be a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, you're talking to your son, and I want to get your book on prodigals, by the way, but my wife and I have been praying for our daughter the longest time. When she left our household to go to higher education, she was raised by liberals, and for 4 years in undergrad and then 4 years for the PhD, and she was away from the home, and we didn't know what was going on until she came back and started spouting all of this very unfamiliar, very painful ideology stuff.
Yeah.
Now, things have changed a little bit over the years, but still we continue to pray for her to be restored, to come,
amen.
You know, actually get saved, which didn't happen when it should have. So that's happening, but she is a prodigal. We have a lot of us Christian parents have prodigals. Some of us are embarrassed to mention. I'm not embarrassed anymore, but because I want people to know we're praying, and God has a hand, and He is going to work and is working in her life even now. But our time's almost up, and because our computer had the audacity to start this program at the bottom of the last hour, we had about a minute or so before the top of the hour, which means I'm going to end a little early so that the content of this program won't go over time. So we're actually going to come to a close here. And I just want to thank you, Penny, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I do want to extend an invitation for you to come back. And especially after this book on the prodigals has been written, I want to come in and have you talk about it and promote it.
Okay.
Promote your other books. Just get you in front of the people and keep you there. What you're doing is a tremendous work. And we're going to give God the glory, as I know you do.
It's all Him.
It's because of the grace He's given you. It's because of the call He's put on your life that you said yes to daily. That the work that He has given you to do advances the gospel every day in a powerful way. And thank you for being with us to share that.
Thank you so much.
And for the listener, thank you for calling, for calling those that did. Thank you for listening. We will be with you we won't. The next 2 weeks coming up, prayer and share.
Yep.
We're going to be live on the air raising money for the station, and so we will not have many of our live programs. Till then, until the next time, God bless.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.